Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com. For more information and to start your application online, it's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Thank you very much. What an honor it is to be with you here in this conference. I'm excited to be able to preach on a Thursday night. It's always an honor for me to preach on Thursday night. I am the son of missionaries. My wife and I, we were missionaries, and now I have the privilege of being in a place where I can launch missionaries to the ends of the earth. And so I'm going to preach. I'm going to stir you for world evangelism tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3. A man named Russ Lane, he was a lighthouse keeper on the coast of Maine in 1958. During a storm, his wife saw a sailboat capsize, and the crew were trying to cling on. It was very cold, and the winds were 35 miles an hour. She told her husband, Russ, and when Russ was younger, he was in the Navy, and his best friend was killed when he was washed overboard. So hearing that there were people there that in danger of drowning, he said, I have to go out and rescue them. His little boat was too small. He quickly went, found a larger boat, and they launched a rescue operation. They were able to successfully rescue the crew. More than 50 years later, Russ's son wondered whatever happened to the people that Dad rescued. And so he went and he tracked them down. Some of them, one became a doctor, and the doctor was responsible for curing a disease. Another became a historian. Another became the Supreme Court justice in New York State. So instead of dying, they not only live, but they went on to have lives. There was something of their life that lived on. That is actually a great picture of what we're going to read in our text. It's the most familiar passage in the Bible. It is the greatest rescue mission in history. And that is when God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And it shows us on World Evangelism Night the model of worldwide love. I want to preach about worldwide love. John 3, 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Worldwide love. Let's talk about the love of God for a moment. This text speaks of God sending his son. And that statement, "God sent his son," does not make sense unless we understand the human condition. The original man and woman, people were created to have relationship with God. They had access to God, but they chose to rebel. They rebelled against God through sin. And the moment they did that, they handed ownership of the earth to the devil. You and I, we now live in hostile territory. Look at what's going on in the craziness of the world. The reason why we are living in hostile territory. John 8, 34, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, in the human condition, there are people that have addictions they can't break. Guilt and shame is a part of their daily life. There's a rock band, and the name of the rock band is called Stained. They're talking about how they feel inside, guilt and shame. People are not able to maintain marriages and relationships. They're tormented and afraid, and they are depressed. That is the condition of the human race. The consequence of sin was separation from God. Adam and Eve, after they rebelled, they were sent away from God's presence. And an angel stood there with a sword that was on fire. They were cut off. Ephesians 2:12, "In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You didn't know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." That is the human condition, but there's something greater. There's something worse than guilt or addiction. Verse 16, in the verse we read, it says the word perish, to be completely destroyed. This is talking about eternal punishment. Revelations 20, verse 15, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is talking about hell, eternal punishment. Jesus told a story. He sees both time and eternity, and he tells a story about a man. At that time, over 2,000 years ago, a man who, while Jesus was speaking, he said he's in hell right now. But 2,000 years, over 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus told that story. That man is still in hell. He is still in torment, and that is the human condition. But God was not okay with people being separated by sin. He was not okay with people facing judgment in hell. Incredibly, in spite of our rebellion, our text says God loves us. God so loved. Think about, why would God love? We use his name as a swear word. Why would he love? We do everything he says not to do. People mock God, and yet he still loves. He wants to have relationship with people. He wants to have relationship with you. God is not happy when people are not in relationship. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories to illustrate the heart of God. Tells about a shepherd that has a lost sheep, a woman who loses a coin. It'd be like losing your engagement ring, and a man whose son is lost. And he tells those stories to show this is God. None of those stories, the people in the story, they were not happy about what was lost. And this is God looking down on people in guilt and shame, people tormented, bound, and on their way to hell. God said, "That is not what I want." And so his love planned and carried out the greatest rescue mission in history. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God left heaven to come down after lost people that he loves, just like the stories in Luke 15. The shepherd goes to look for the lost sheep. The woman looks for the lost coin. 1 John 4:10, this is what real love is. It's not our love for God, it's God's love for us. He sent his son to die in our place to take away our sins. This is an incredible story. God died for rebels. God died for his enemies so they could live. In verse 16 and 17, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In 2022, Kevin Ott lived in Fort Myers, Florida. Hurricane Ian was coming, was about to hit. His plan, his house was safe. His plan was just to ride out the hurricane at home. But then he got a call from his children's grandmother, Mary Ann Deneen. She was crying, saying, the water's coming up quick. We've already got water in the house knee deep. She said, Kevin, you got to get here. Tried to get in his truck and couldn't, grabbed his friend pontoon boat and headed out. And on the way, they saw a mother and a father and a little boy that they were in the water. The parents were trying to hold the boy above the water so he didn't drown. And Kevin said, no, we have to stop and get them. We can't just pass them. We saw another man freaking out, so we swung in and grabbed him. Wound up rescuing Doreen and the three family members, and then picked up more people on the way back. He said, you can't just pass people when they're about to die. Kevin wound up rescuing 16 people. That is God. We can't just let people die. We can't just let people face punishment in hell forever. And so every believer here tonight, every believer here watching, we now are enlisted in God's great rescue mission of love. What God wants is for us to love like he loves. He wants us to care about lost people. The problem is there are many believers, they don't. Jonah, God had to jam him. He said, Jonah, you know, the problem is you care more about your comfort than you do about the fact that 120,000 people are lost and they're facing judgment. See, God wants people who care enough to do something. He wants us to get involved in a rescue mission. For some, that means they personally will evangelize. Jude 22 and 23 says that on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Every believer here, you and I, we have an obligation to participate in the rescue mission by witnessing. And in our churches, it is the job of every pastor to instill the love of God into our people and aim them at rescue. Do you know in the church world as a whole, churches outside our fellowship, they will do everything but rescue. They will get excited about, let's get involved in politics. Let's boycott something. Let's get involved in a feeding program. I got a letter last Saturday. As a matter of fact, I get about one a month from this crazy dude that the point of the letter is this man writing to me as a pastor telling me I need to be preaching from the King James Bible. That's all he cares about. You know what? You will never see that man on the streets looking a sinner in the eye, offering them hope. All he's concerned about is, are you reading from King James? That's not okay with God. The problem is, I don't know anybody who speaks King James, right? But that's the church world. They get hung up on little things when what God says is, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that's what he wants us to be a part of. Let's talk about worldwide love. The context of John 3, you know, is Jesus' conversation with a man named Nicodemus, who was a religious Jew. He understood scripture. He would have been very familiar with God's love for Israel. Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8 tells that Israel was chosen because God set his affection on them, and he loved them. God loved the Jewish people. He loved the nation of Israel. So this man is now in conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, for God so loved, he would have been expecting Jesus to say, the Jews. God so loved the people of Israel, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Not just our people, not just your own people, but every nation, every person in the entire world. As of right now, there are 8.2 billion people in 243 nations. And the Bible says the heart of God, God's love is worldwide. It includes people beyond your own national borders. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, you shall be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is Abraham from the beginning. He is the prototype or the model of what it means to be in relationship with God. God is telling him, if you're going to have relationship with me, your life must bless not just your family, your town, not even just your nation, every family, every nation in the entire world. Psalm 96:3 says, declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. This is what Jesus Christ modeled when he was on earth. He showed God's love for the nations, for people beyond our borders when he was on earth. He told his Jewish believers, I must go through Samaria. These were foreigners to the Jewish people. He said, let us go to the other side. These were the 10 cities where non-Jews inhabited. He told his disciples, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I have sheep that I care about. They're not Jews. God loves the Jewish people, but he said his love is not stopping there. It's worldwide. We sang tonight about Pentecost, about the fire falling. You know, the day of Pentecost forms the pattern of what God intends to happen in the earth. On the day of Pentecost, when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, many nations were impacted. They were in Jerusalem, Jewish people. That's one nation. But Acts 2:8, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And the Bible lists 15 other languages, 15 other nations. God did this because he knows our tendency, and that is we care about our own. My people, I want them to be saved. But God says, I want you to make impact on all nations in the world. See, God's love is worldwide because he knows of the great need in the nations of the earth. You know, there are people, our text speaks about those that will perish. There are people in danger of perishing, winding up in hell, and they don't even know that they're in danger. More than 4 billion people are unsaved right now and on their way to hell. Out of 8.2, at least 4 billion are not saved. Out of that 4 billion, they say that more than 2 billion people have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. They don't even know who Jesus is. Jesus is the only way to salvation, and they've never even heard of him. Over 16 million people died last year without ever hearing the gospel even one time. Famous preacher Oswald J. Smith, he said, we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, but half the world has never even heard of the first. You see, why we are having conference and Thursday night of conference is because while we are here, there are people there, the nations of the earth, who don't know what we don't what we know. I've been hearing from Pastor and also Pastor Ruby talking about the wonderful atmosphere, the spirit that you have felt this week. They've never felt that. They don't know what it's like to come into the presence of God. Right now, out of the 243 nations of the world, there are 91 nations that we still do not even have one fellowship church in. I want them to put the photo up of this. If you look at that, those are the nations that we don't even have one single fellowship church. And that represents hundreds of millions, oh, more than a billion people, that there is not even one church in at all. Such nations, I don't know if you can read that, Armenia, Chad, Congo, Greece, Grenada, Italy, Tuvalu. These nations have never even, they don't have a chance to hear what we hear. Why is it important that our fellowship is not there? Because I don't know what other churches do, but I know what we do. You heard our brothers say tonight, they outreach. They don't have anybody in those nations that's going to tell them about Jesus like we will. I was reading about a church, their tradition when they would serve communion, the servers would pass out the bread to everybody, and then the pastor normally would ask, has everyone been served? And then when they said yes, then they would partake of the bread together. Same with the juice. Has everyone been served? And then they would partake together. But he wanted to make a point about the nations of the earth. And so he had people ready. And so this Sunday morning when he asked, has everyone been served? He had various people stand up wearing the clothing of different nations of the earth. One man stood when he said, has everyone been served? And this man stood, he said, I represent the Uyghur people of Western China, and we have not yet been served. Another one said, I represent the Tubu people of Northern Niger, and we have not yet been served. Another said, I represent the Karakalpak people of Kazakhstan, and we have not yet been served. The pastor paused and he said, as we partake of the communion today, let's remember that there are billions of people and thousands of people groups who don't yet know anything about the sacrifice of Jesus, his resurrection, and the forgiveness that we're going to celebrate today. That is what we're doing tonight, is we are focusing on the nations of the earth, on those who have never heard. Listen, the moment you got saved, you became a part of God's worldwide mission of love. We are expected. He doesn't ask if you really feel like doing this. God expects you to reach beyond your own race, beyond your own borders to reach. It must be a love that reaches worldwide. Romans 1:14, I am a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. Another translation says, I am obligated, or I have a duty to all people. See, what God has to do sometimes is challenge our small hearts. Because typically what people do, we will look around, the circle of our love extends to our family, maybe our kind, our race. Like Peter has a vision of this sheet that is filled with unclean animals, and he proudly tells God, I have never partaken of anything that is unclean. His world was very small. See, every believer has a worldwide obligation to reach the nations. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A man named George Ladd said, so long as Christ does not return, our work is not done. Let us get busy and complete our mission. Let's look at one final thought. I want to talk to you about love that gives. Our text, this is probably the most famous verse in all of the Bible, verse 16. It shows us true love gives. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It is not enough to feel sorry for people. You remember when Bill Clinton was president, there would be a tornado and hurricane, some disaster. And what would he say? I feel your pain. Well, that was nice on the TV, but he didn't actually do anything. He said, I feel your pain. That's not what God is wanting. God is not wanting me to show you pictures of starving children in Africa, and you go, man, that's terrible. Where are we going to eat tonight? He wants love to move us to give. God giving his son shows the pattern of love. It is only when our love manifests in action that people can be saved. Because our text says love gives or supplies whatever is necessary to save people. How do we give? We give by going. We will never reach the world except by personal presence. What you heard tonight, five missionaries telling the story. You know why that is so powerful? Because the only way we can reach the world is if somebody comes personally. That is what Jesus Christ is all about. God already sent messages, right? There were scriptures that told about God and His plan and His love, but that will never be good enough. The only way that people are truly going to get it and be saved is if someone comes. And that is the pattern here. Romans 10:14, how can they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I tell you, radio and television, medias and social media will never accomplish what a preacher can. If you show me any nation of the earth that has been powerfully impacted by the gospel, I guarantee someone went there. Joe Campbell went to Malaysia. There were others that went to India. Ron Burrell, later on, my parents went to Australia. That is how we make impact, by going. Secondly, we give by sending. World evangelism requires teamwork. Just out of curiosity, how many of you in the building right now, how many of you right now or in the past you have ever been a missionary? Lift up your hand. Okay, that's good, but that's a minority. So what that tells us is that world evangelism requires teamwork. Romans 12:15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Somebody has to go, but the only way they can go is if there are people who will stand behind them and send. There must be pastors and churches that will release workers and send, that will pray for, and that will supply the support that is needed. Thirdly, we give by investing financially. Romans 12:15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? World evangelism is the most expensive thing we can do. Every time I have a pastor at conference, he's excited. Man, we're going to plant our first overseas church. They're excited. I'm excited with them. But in the back of my head, it's like, you have no idea what you're getting into. You have no idea how expensive this is. Sending and equipping and supporting, servicing, returning for conference, vehicles, emergencies. I got a missionary right now that their vehicle is broken down. And so my options are, I can put in, we've already put, just to repair it, we put $5,000. That's probably not enough. Then they say it'll be another $13,000, and I doubt that. So realistically, we probably will have to spend $40,000 or $50,000 to replace that vehicle. That wasn't planned, but it has to be done. Pastor Roman, I asked him how much McCallum put out last year in world evangelism, and he said that that number would be close to $800,000. Because world evangelism is expensive. Listen, worldwide love costs lots of money. It costs. There is always a cost. There's a cost because we change our plans and our preferences by going. Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. There's a cost for every missionary. If you're going to leave your home country, that means you're going to leave the connection with family and friends. It cannot be as close because you're not there. You will make less money, most likely, when you are a missionary and you go overseas. Churches have a cost in world evangelism. Sending couples that you would rather keep and have them close by. Churches, there are churches that are here. You have sacrificed. You have released pastors to answer the call to the nations. And then there is a financial cost. We cannot reach the world through leftovers and spare change. I want to be honest with you. It will not do the job. You know, many years ago in the olden days, I read about this. This is true, that they would take offerings and there'd be people that they would give used tea bags. Imagine, I'm making my cup of tea, put it in the hot water. It's already been used by me. I've already gotten good out of it. Let's send it to the missionary. I got some old clothes that I don't really want. Let's send it to the missionary. That will never reach the world. That is not what I'm talking about. When you give to the Lord, sometimes you have to alter your spending plans. You intended on buying this. You intended on doing that. But when God deals with you for the nations, you change your plan. There is a cost, but I tell you that giving pays off. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread upon the waters and you will find it after many days. New Living Translation says, send your grain across the seas and in time, profits will flow back to you. It pays off to give for world evangelism. It pays off at conference when you hear reports like we heard tonight of what God is doing in the nations. The reports we heard tonight are reports that are due to past giving, aren't they? And now we get to hear the reports of actual people saved and lives being touched because of what we gave in the past and continue. It pays off at conference. It pays off at conference. Sometimes you get to meet people who come from our mission churches. You get to literally shake hands with them and get to know people that your money helps save. It pays off in eternity when you see the massive return on your investment. All people, if you just stay saved for years, when you get to heaven, your mind is going to be blown because you have no idea how your giving has multiplied. You got someone saved and they got somebody else saved and they got somebody else saved. They become a pastor and get more people saved and make disciples and launch churches and they get saved. It's going to pay off in eternity. And it is going to pay off in eternity when we hear God say, well done. When God finds people who love like He loved, He is going to say, well done. And I tell you that giving pays off even now because it triggers a supernatural dimension. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know that's a promise that people just grab onto. God's going to supply my need. But Philippians 4:19 is written to people who've been investing in Thursday night of conferences. Those are the people, he says, people who invest in world evangelism, my God shall supply all your need because it pleases God. We have a worldwide love. When you care enough to invest, the Bible says it will come back. There is a payoff. I close with this story. When James Harrison was 14 years old, he got very sick. One of his lungs had to be removed and he needed a lot of blood. He said he was in the hospital for 3 months. Had 100 stitches. He received 13 units, which means over 3 months, he received almost 2 gallons of donated blood. When Harrison got better, he said, I want to give back. I was always looking forward to donating right after the operation because I don't know how many people it took to save my life. So when James Harrison turned 18 years old, he started giving blood and plasma regularly. Every 3 weeks, James Harrison gave blood. But what's interesting is James Harrison, his blood has something in it that helps pregnant women with a condition. There are ladies, if their blood type is negative, when they get pregnant, often they get a condition to where their blood attacks the healthy cells of the baby. And often what happens is the baby dies because there's something unhealthy in his blood. But James Harrison has something in his blood. Any pregnant woman who receives even an injection, a vaccine made from his blood, it changes that and their baby lives. James Harrison is known as the man with the golden arm. I want them to put the photo up here. This is him holding 2 twins that were saved because of blood that he donated. And what you see there, a little hard to see, he's laying back. This is the last time that he was ever legally allowed to donate blood. Over 62 years, he donated blood 1,173 times. By the time that he had to stop, they made him stop because of his age. They estimate that his blood saved 2.4 million babies. You know what's interesting about him giving and giving and giving for all those years is later on, his own daughter had the condition. She got pregnant, and now James Harrison's grandson was at risk because of what was going on in her body. But she was able to receive the blood from her father, and the result is that his second grandson, Scott, instead of dying, was born healthy. On the last day, when they're interviewing him, he's giving blood for the last time on that day. He said, I've seen the result because my grandson is now 23 years old and he was at university. How many of you know when James Harrison looks at his grandson, he says, I am very glad that I gave. I gave out to save others, but it came back to me. That is what God's promise is. Every believer here, if you will care like God cares, if you will give like God gives, all the impact that we can make. And not only that, I tell you what will come back in God's blessing, because God is pleased when you and I have worldwide love. Let's bow our heads.
We want to receive the offering, amen, for this. As you know, Pastor Greg was just mentioning that in order to do something like this, it costs hundreds and thousands of dollars. And so I want to read to you Romans 10, 13 through 15. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't it amazing that God chose a preacher or a couple to save the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ? In other words, one couple can change an entire nation if they are sent. I was thinking about El Salvador here. We have Mario and Karin going to El Salvador. Just a few years ago, that nation was completely upside down. One of the worst nations in Central America. It was corrupted by politicians and it was overran by a gang called MS-13. This nation now has recently done a complete 180. It's once again a nation that is beginning to thrive and is experiencing a genuine move of God right now. The doors are right open. So the question would be tonight, how did that happen? Well, it happened because of one couple that believed in God. One couple, Nayeb and Gabriela Bukele, I believe is how you pronounce his name. They are the new presidents of that nation. I want to show you a video of how powerful, amen, this move of God is. This video was taken the night that he won his election. Let's see that video.
El país más seguro de todo el continente americano. ¿Y qué dijeron? Está violando derechos humanos. ¿Los derechos humanos de quién? ¿De la gente honrada? No. Tal vez pusimos prioridad en los derechos de la gente honrada sobre los derechos de los delincuentes. Eso es lo único que hemos hecho y lo que ustedes a eso le llaman violar derechos humanos. Y ahora que nos vieron hacer un milagro, que la verdad hay que darle la gloria a Dios. Porque ¿qué somos nosotros sino herramientas todos, herramientas de Dios? Dios quiso sanar nuestro país y lo sanó a través de un pueblo unido que decidió dejar el pasado atrás y decidió tomar las riendas de su propio destino. Ya veo los titulares. Bukele menciona a Dios y el país debe ser laico. Es que hasta eso nos quieren imponer, que seamos ateos. Nosotros respetamos a todas las religiones, respetamos a los ateos, a los agnósticos, los respetamos y somos sus amigos, pero déjennos creer en Dios. Y déjennos darle la gloria si así lo queremos. ¿En qué les molesta? ¿En qué les afecta? Tal vez les afecte el ejemplo, porque tal vez las poblaciones de sus países a las que les han metido el ateísmo empiecen también o vuelvan a creer en Dios. Ustedes han visto Gracias a Dios y gracias a este pueblo noble y unido. Como El Salvador pasó de ser el más inseguro al más seguro. Ahora, en estos próximos 5 años, esperen a ver lo que vamos a hacer. Porque seguiremos haciendo lo imposible y seguiremos demostrándole al mundo el ejemplo del Salvador. Que Dios los bendiga a todos y muchas gracias.
This president also built the largest prison in the world, locking up over 40,000 MS-13 gang members. I wanted to just show you a few pictures of what this prison is holding. It's completely cleaned up. Amen, that nation. That is what one couple can do. Amen, that's what one couple, that's what we're doing. Like Pastor Greg said, they can go preach the gospel and make an impact. Amen. Thank you for those pictures. Nayib and Gabriela, this president, they were able to turn the nation around because they had the financial and moral support of major oil companies and of the Salvadorian people. Without their support, there's no way in the world that he would have been able to accomplish what he accomplished. They say that today, I just looked this up, today, El Salvador is now safer than America. One couple. We have couples, amen, standing up here that need our support to go turn nations around for Jesus. It's going to take a sacrificial gift tonight, amen. Aris Chapa, send me this as I close. It says, when the Titanic sank, it carried millionaire Isidore Strauss, co-owner of the largest American chain department stores, Macy's. He said, I will never enter a lifeboat before other men. Once it was clear the Titanic was sinking, his wife Ida refused to leave Isidore and would not get into a lifeboat without him. According to a friend and Titanic survivor, Colonel Archibald Gracie, when he offered to ask an officer if Isidore could enter a lifeboat with Ida, Isidore refused to be made an exception while women and children were still on board. While Ida is reported to have said, I will not be separated from my husband as we have lived, so we will die together. And Ida gave her maid her fur coat and insisted she get into the lifeboat. Isidore and Ida were last seen deck arm to arm. Eyewitnesses described the scene as a most remarkable exhibition of love and devotion. There is a monument, amen, in New York that shares their story. I wanted to show you a picture. They celebrate this couple, co-owners of Macy's. You can imagine the amount of money they were worth, but they chose to sacrifice their lives so that other people can live. Tonight, God's not asking us to sacrifice our lives. These couples are sacrificing their lives. He's asking us to sacrifice our finances. James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We have an obligation tonight. We know without a doubt that what we're doing here tonight is good. We know that what we are doing here is going to change the world. We've seen it. We saw a powerful video today, heard a powerful message. Tonight we need to partner together. It's going to take hundreds and thousands of dollars to get these couples to their nations. I'd like every head bowed. Remember that there are ways of giving online, those of you that are watching online, it's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take us sacrificing like Isidore and Ida did. They chose to give up their lives so that others can live. This is, beloved, the heart that's going to be needed tonight. I'm asking you to dig deep into your finances. I had so many people come to me, pioneers with checks, showing me how they picked up an offering at their church for this World Evangelism Night. There are people here, amen, that God is stirring you to support what God is doing in this church. I want to ask you to be sensitive. I want to ask you to give the absolutely largest offering that you can give tonight. Let's keep taking the world for Jesus. Father, I thank you for all that you are doing. And Father, I'm asking you, God, that your Holy Spirit right now would convict us. God, that we would want to win the world for Jesus. God, we want to partner. God, let this be a desire in our hearts, a culture in our church. God, as you continue to give us the couples, Lord, that we will continue to support them, God. Father, help us tonight, God, to respond with a sacrificial gift. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.